Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you more than anything for your presence and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We just surrender this time to you, Lord, because it is your time and we are your people. We've come to hear from you, Lord, but we've also come to praise and magnify you and lift your name. Lord, we thank you for the people that are here and we pray for those who are not. Lord, in Jesus' name, we lift them up to you and we thank you that they're healed, free, and they're well in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just surrender this again, this time to you. Holy Spirit, come and bring our Father's will into this house. We have open minds and receptive hearts, Lord, and we proclaim that to you, Lord. We ask for the seed, Lord, that comes and that you plant it, Lord, and that it brings forth good fruit in our lives. For that we'll praise and thank you as we magnify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture says in Romans 8:1 that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And hallelujah, God tells us, he said, if our heart condemns us, that he is greater than our heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. You are worthy, Lamb of God. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory and honor and praise belong to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again for this day. Lord, we praise you. We lift you up, Lord. You are our desire. Nothing and no one else will do, Lord. We lay our lives down again. Lord, for you. You're all we want. You're all we need. You're more than enough. You are adequate. You are sufficient. You are more than a conqueror, Lord. We love you this morning. Now, Lord, touch me with a coal from off the altar of God. Touch these stammering lips, Lord, with a coal from off the altar of God. Let me bring forth your word in purity and power, Lord. Speak to every heart, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that as your word is planted, it'll take deep root. It'll bring forth fruit in its season, and it will not return void, but it'll accomplish what it's sent to do. For that we praise and thank you for the promise and for the outcome. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to spend at least this one more Sunday on this. God's got me on a roll, and he's really opening things up to me that I have never seen or never really clearly understood before. I want to continue on because I think it's good. I think I'm getting some insight. I'll pray you'll get some insight. Maybe you're way ahead of me. If that's the case, forgive me, but this is what God gave me. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, sometimes we read things, and because of our completely, I want to use the word fanatical, but that's not the word, but it is fanatical. Because of our intellect, because of the things we face every day, because of our jobs, because of our training, we miss the simple things. Sometimes the Word of God gets so complicated to us, and it's really not complicated at all. I don't know what I'm talking about. The Bible says, come as a little child. If you don't receive things as a little child, you can't possibly hope to enter the kingdom of heaven. A little child takes things at face value. He doesn't question them. He believes them. And he bases his actions on that, unless he's taught differently. And our job as men and women of God is to teach those children to continue doing that in the simplicity. And we could take a lesson from them about simplicity. When the Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation, that word condemnation means censure or blame. Censure or blame. That word censure means the act of blaming or condemning sternly. Judgment or an official reprimand. There's now therefore none of that. For those who what? Who are in Christ Jesus. Who do not walk. In other words, their life is not based on the sensual things of this earth. Sensual, selfish, you know, the five physical senses. But we don't walk according to those things. We walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? That word flesh, who do not walk according to the flesh, that word flesh means physical nature of man, five physical senses, or human nature without divine influence. Without divine influence. So I'm here to tell you today, if you're born again, then these things should not, you shouldn't be walking in the flesh. You should be walking in the Spirit. You should be in tune with the Spirit of God. How many know the Spirit and the Word always agree? And when you become born again, your spirit is entwined with the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Leads you into all truth. All truth. Romans 8:2. This is not going to be long, but I think it's going to be direct and to the point. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, of life is the Zoe life of God. It means life, real and genuine. A life active and vigorous, devoted to God, the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. Actions going along with what they believe. Actions going along with their words. Amen? How many know without faith it's impossible to please Him? But how many know that without works your faith is dead? What does that word works mean? It means putting action to what you believe. If you believe something, you don't hesitate to act on it. You get up in the morning, if it's still dark out, you turn on a light. That's an action that corresponds with the fact that you believe that light is going to come on. That there's electricity enough, in enough supply, that you're going to have light to be able to get ready to go to work or ready to go for your day or whatever it is you're going to do that day. Amen? And that's important that we understand that. Actions. You get in your car, you turn the key, you believe it's going to start. You know, the old adage is, you know, you give somebody a car and they run around with the keys. You know, you give them a brand new car and they run around with the keys. Man, whoa, look at what I got. Keys to a new car. But you never drive the car. What good is the car to you? Doesn't get you anywhere. Doesn't do anything. It just sits there. Oh, it's pretty, but it's useless. Amen. Praise the Lord. Made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the Mosaic law, or the law that was not fulfilled, the law of man. And there is no way to fulfill that law. Those are the laws that held you in contempt for the violations you made as an unbeliever and hold you to the point which you are required to and you deserve punishment. And I know that's not us. We've dealt with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is weak. How many people have you seen or you've experienced or how many people do you know who basically they fight at everything the laws are? They commit a traffic infraction, the policeman stops them. Why aren't you out catching drug dealers or criminals? People are breaking into houses or killing people. Well, guess what? The Bible says if you violate in one area, you've violated them all. Sin is sin. There's no degree. And so, you're just as much a lawbreaker. And in the flesh, it's impossible to fulfill that. It's impossible to keep from breaking that law. Okay? The word law there is the revelation of the will of God set forth in the Old Testament. God's will is revealed in the Old Testament. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. The could not do means you're without strength, you were impotent, you were powerless, you were weakly, you were disabled, or unable, you were unable to do what needed to be done, and it was impossible for you without God. Amen? That's why the law is weak. All it does, in other words, when we're talking about the law in this, we're talking about those things that would condemn you, those things that would judge you, and would be judicially judged. There's a sentence at the end of that. Praise the Lord. We're not under that anymore. And the law was weak. That means to be weak, to be feeble, to be without strength, to be powerless. The law was powerless. How many lives changed because of the law? Nobody. Nobody. Can't be done. The righteous requirement of the law in verse 4 might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. We don't walk according to the flesh because we have had our minds and our spirits renewed. We've become a new creation in Christ, and now Christ lives in us. He's our hope. He's our mainstay. He's the one who is motivating us and pushing us into different levels of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. We're changed every day from glory to glory. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, the more you hear, the more you receive in, the more your knowledge and your ability and your power grows in your life. Right? Hallelujah. I'm going to go back for a minute. I want to go back and do Romans 8:1 again, only with... How many know when I say translate and meditate what I'm talking about? You translate the word that's you've got in front of you, and you meditate on the true meaning of that word. So when we read Romans 8:1, it means now there is now therefore no censure or blame, no act of blaming or condemnation or condemning sternly, no judgment, no official reprimand to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Now don't overwhelm me with your response. All right. Who do not walk according to the flesh. That means just your everyday life. It's just your living. What you do. You don't do it according to the flesh or the physical nature of man. The five physical senses or the human nature without divine influence. What we look for and what happened to us when we gave our lives to the Lord is we began to get under that divine influence. We began to wash our mind and cleanse our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. Renew our mind. Renew our mind. Amen. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in verse 2, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That word law again, or that word of life, the Spirit of life, is the Zoe. The real life, real and genuine. A life. So now, for the law of the Spirit of real and genuine life, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate, alive. The Spirit of God has quickened your spirit. The Word has quickened your spirit because it comes in agreement with the Word of God. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God always agree. Always agree. Which means you know the truth. Amen? So the righteous requirement of the law in verse 4 is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We do what the Spirit dictates. We do what our conscience... And how many know that your conscience is enhanced by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God? You can't anymore do the things that you want to do. Right? Praise the Lord. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh, or the five physical senses, the sensual nature, set their mind on the things of the flesh. In other words, they're motivated by everything that's fleshly, everything that satisfies their appetites. How many know that the mind and the will and the emotions are part of the soul? In Jeremiah 17:9, we all know what that says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is part of the soul is entwined in the heart. And that means your fleshly appetites, the seat of appetites, your emotions. How many know emotions can get you in trouble? Amen? But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on, and they do, and they walk in the things of the Spirit. In other words, their life, their actions show that they are a being that's not the same. Amen? People are provoked to jealousy by the fact that you walk in the Spirit and by the fact that you know the Lord, and your life emulates, it emanates the godly traits. And that's what causes people to be convicted and see. Not just our words, but our actions and our lifestyle. That's what causes people to grow in the Lord. Romans 8:6. Very poignant statement. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many remember what carnally is? What carnality is? You remember? There we go. Carnally minded means you're sensuous. Your animal nature is in control. The animal nature of man, it's depraved. It's craving that which incites to sin. It's the flesh or the lower nature of man. That's what carnally means. Yes. For to be carnally minded is death. If those are the things that are going on in you, it means death. First, it means death. How many know the greatest death you ever face is separation from God? That's where we were before we knew the Lord. Are you all aware of that? I mean, you might as well be dead because there's no life in you. Like they say in the prison, on those who are in death row, it's a dead man walking. Man meaning mankind, not just men. But to be spiritually minded, having your mind on the things above, having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, is life. And not only that, there is peace. How many know what the peace of God does? Passes all understanding. Peace and rest. And those were the things that were dealt with when you received the Lord. You died once, and then because of your decision, you were reborn spiritually. Now you're alive to God. Jesus died once for all. There is no other salvation. There is no other way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to have life, it's going to be in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. To be essentially minded is death. To be physically minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, hearing and receiving the things of the Spirit, which are based in the Word of God, is life and peace. How many want peace today? Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the peace that we talk about out there. Do you know that if you're at peace with God, and if you're walking in peace, that everything else out there, it's like it doesn't exist? I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm saying it's to you, it's like it doesn't exist. Because you're at peace. You know who you are. You know what's happened to your life. You know where you're going. And you know what your final outcome is. So though the tempest rages, like when they were in the boat, Jesus didn't make it on that trip. And they were in the boat, and the storms came. Peter was on the boat. Storms came, the tempest raged, and they got afraid because they were focusing on the storm and the tempest. And then came Jesus on the water. And once he got in the boat, he said, "Peace be still." And he went back and he went to sleep again. The tempest stopped. Jesus is your Lord. And there shouldn't be any tempest. There shouldn't be any storm in your life that you don't have victory over. And that doesn't mean they don't come. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when they come, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The finished work that He did. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So this is not really difficult. Verse 7 says, to be carnally minded, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law, nor of the word of God. Nor indeed can be. Excuse me. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, how many here does the Spirit of God indwell? Y'all still here? Did you go home already? If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. In other words, the flesh, the sensual nature. Remember, we're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life which we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness of God, the righteous one who dwells in us. Right standing with Him. Because the one who was cursed is dead. Did you hear me? The one who was cursed. That was you and I before we knew the Lord, before we accepted the Lord. We were cursed. We were dead. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit, or through His Spirit, who dwells in you. You have life in you because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is well with my soul. I can say that today. It's well with my soul. Hallelujah. Anyone need prayer? Anything we need to pray about? Well, then you all are blessed. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, short, simple, not complicated. We thank you for revelation from the Holy Spirit. We thank you for making it clear and simple to us, Lord. Now, Lord, we ask that your face would shine upon your people, that your goodness and mercy would follow them all the days of their life, as you promised, Lord. As they serve you, as they're surrendered to you. Now, Lord, as they go their way, as we continue on in this time, Lord, let us be mindful, not of the hustle and bustle and the materialistic part of this holiday, but let us be mindful of who you are, what you did for us. That you were that sinless Son of God who was born of a virgin, who came to restore us to right relationship with our Father, to relieve us, to heal us, and to set us free from all sin and unrighteousness. And in so doing, because of your indwelling, you made us righteous. You made us just. We're saints today, Lord, because of that work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are Lord. We make you the Lord of our lives. Everything we do, everything we say, every action, every thought, Lord, we want you to be Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. To the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Be with your people. Bless our fellowship. Sanctify what we eat, Lord. In Jesus' name, by your word in this prayer, and we thank you for the provision, and thank you for meeting our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.